Let's open our Bibles together, please, in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible book. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat at his own table, his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said unto Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I give thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I give thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. And thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and raised him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. Came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself. He changed his apparel and he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he inquired, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we're looking at the story of David and the backsliding of David. And we have been looking for two Sundays on this, and we're thinking about the timing at the season of the springtime after the winter was over when kings go to battle. We saw not only the timing, we saw the trouble. Because David's failure, instead of going out to do the will of God, David decided that he would stay at home and be in idle neglect. Then we saw the temptation, because as he rose in the eventide, it tells us that there was a woman who was bathing herself in the courtyard, and her name was Bathsheba. And of course, he gazed his eyes upon her. In other words, he took a long look, and not a passing glimpse. And he took that long look, and that look turned into a lust, and he desired her. And that brought us to the thought, because you see, not only did he look, but there was not only a temptation before his eyes, but there was a thought then entered into his mind. And as the Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God planted a thought in the heart of David, and that led him into sin. And that brought us last Lord's Day to the transgression. Because the Bible tells us that not only did he see her, but the Bible says that he took her. He sent messengers, chapter 11, verse 4, and he took her. And as I said last Lord's Day, David wasn't a young man, just a young fellow. He was 50 years of age, and therefore he ought to have known better. He was a king that had been richly blessed of God, and yet we find that indeed God will always, the old proverb or old statement is, the devil will always find some mischief for idle hands to do. And here we find that he fell into a serious transgression, and he sinned against the Lord. I have no doubt whatsoever that David didn't intend the story to go the way it went. I have no doubt that whenever he stayed behind, that he didn't intend that he would sin with Bathsheba and bring a great sin and transgression into his own life. But sad to say is, whilst he didn't intend it to be that way, the devil, he desired and planned that David, the great king, would fall. And so he did fall. And you know, sooner or later, the person who deliberately defies God, tramples underfoot God's word, will face very painful experiences. And so it is with David. The word of God says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And as Proverbs says in 23, at the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. No one had ever believed that David would have fallen so far, because not only did he take Bathsheba, another man's wife, but he sinned against, as I said last Lord's Day, two faithful soldiers. Bathsheba's father, one of the 37 brave men, heroes of Israel, and Uriah, who was another of the 37 of the great soldiers faithful to the king. He tempted Uriah to break his vow to God that he would not go home, and he tried his best to send him home, brought him back from the battle, and sent him home to his wife, of course, to cover up his sin. In actual fact, he went further. Then, because Uriah wouldn't go home, he made Uriah drunk and thought that Uriah would, in his drunken state, he would stagger back home and somehow again it would cover up his sin. And having planned all of those things, it didn't work. And then, of course, he called Uriah the next day and he gave him a letter for the captain of his host in the battlefield, Joab. And he gave him a letter. And that letter unknown to Uriah, faithful Uriah, unknown to him, he was carrying his own death warrant in the order of the king. Put him in the hottest part of the battle and then step back. You know, who would have believed that David, the great king of Israel, would fall so grievously into sin like that, that he would deliberately plot the death of one of his most devoted subjects that served him faithfully? But you see, David was not thinking about Uriah. He's thinking about himself. And so he did all of those things. And then the message came back. The message came back that Uriah had been put in the forefront of the battle. Uriah was dead. Well, if David couldn't cover up his sin one way, he had another plan. Because now Uriah was dead, he would take the widow as his wife. And of course, in that day, that was not thought strange, because in actual fact, it was looked upon as an act of charity. That somehow David was so concerned about Uriah's memory and loved him so much that he was willing to take, even at the expense of himself, he would be willing to take Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He would protect her. He would provide for her. Just the same way as Uriah had tried to protect the king. But friend, it was all in the plan of David. And so therefore, David took Bathsheba to be his wife, and she bare him a son. Of course, it was believed that this was a child within wedlock. And therefore, it was perceived that David had been blessed with a child. And so therefore, David's sin had been covered. But you know, find the Bible says, go back now to chapter 11, verse 27. And the last line, it says, verse 27 says, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife, and she bare him a son." And here's the last line. "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Man didn't know, but God did. And what David had done, the Bible says, had displeased the Lord. Now, time passes between that line in verse 27, chapter 11, to verse 1 of chapter 12. Approximately a year passes. And it says this, after the year passed, it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." The Lord sent Nathan unto David. Now, this wasn't Nathan deciding that he would do this of himself, but the Bible tells us the Lord sent him. And that brings me not only to the transgression, it brings me to the truth. The truth. Because the Lord sends Nathan to David. You know, it may seem to be that everything has gone on well, but you know, in the silence of David's heart, David knew that everything wasn't well. If you keep your hand there, turn to Psalm 32. And in the 32nd Psalm, I want you just to turn with me just for a moment there. Psalm number 32. It's a Psalm of David. And it says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The word blessed is the word happy. And verse 2 says, "Happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." And then it says in verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." You see, during that time, when David had realized that his sin was found out in that Bathsheba was having a child, even though there was a silence, even though there was a silence, and David was silent about it as well, it says, "When I kept silence," he says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. And he said, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And we find that for a period of David's life, it may seem that everything was going well, but the juices of life, the moisture had been turned into something different. The juices of his life had been dried up. David's communion with God had been interrupted. The harp that David had that he used to play, friend, it was out of tune. And the soul of David was like a tree in the winter time. The green leaves had gone. There was nothing, only bark. Maybe there's somebody here today and God's house, friend, and quite honest, that's just your life. Because you've lost communion with God. There's a time you talked to the Lord, friend, and that communion was sweet. You walked with God. And my, the harp of your song, it was something that was in tune because you were in tune with God. But the harp's no longer in tune. And there's nothing, only bark. The leaves of your testimony has gone. And there's nothing else, only branches and bark that's left. And you've lost the joy of your salvation. You know, God sent his servant Nathan, and he told him a story. He told him a story about two men. One was a rich man, and the Bible says this rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But there was another man. He had only got one wee ewe lamb. And you know, as David heard the story, the Bible says, if you go to verse number 5, chapter 12, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. I'll kill him. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing. Mark the last line. And because he had no pity. Isn't it amazing? Because he has done this thing. And you know, there was an angry outburst in David's mouth against the rich man because he did not know he was talking about himself. And friend, it's so easy to point the finger at others. It's so easy to point our finger at others and what they're doing. Or what they're not doing. It's so easy to judge the sins in other people's lives. It's so easy to judge the family of other people's homes. But we also need to remember this. That when you're pointing one finger at somebody else, there's usually three fingers pointing back at yourself. But you see the finger that's out there. You usually have covered with your thumb the other three that's pointing at you. And yes, whilst you and I can see the failures or the sins of others, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And David had an angry outburst, and he was really angry. Because he says, as the Lord liveth, he even brought God into it. As the Lord liveth, he said, Nathan, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he said, he'll restore fourfold. Before he dies, he'll restore fourfold the flocks to the poor man. Verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You know, Nathan was a very courageous man because Uriah, he hadn't even stood against the king. He hadn't sinned against the king at all, and yet he was dead. Here was the prophet of God, and he stands before the king, and he accuses him, and he says, "Thou art the man." He points the finger at the king's sin. Whenever he has been angry with the sins, he believes of somebody else. Thank God he was faithful to God. And he declared the word of God faithfully to David. You know what he did? He reminded David, first of all, he reminded him of his position. Notice this verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel." God said, "Listen, I give you your position. And I want you to remember, you're the king. And what God respects of a king is this, to act as a king." And friend, whenever we think about that, the word of God tells us in the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, God says, "Ye," that's you and me, the people of God, "we are a royal priesthood." In other words, what God is saying is this, if it is right that the king ought to act as a king, then we who are the royal priesthood of God ought to act as who we are. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people, holy unto the Lord. It is so easy to examine somebody else's life and leave yourself out. Search me, O God. Friend, let me tell you, I'm not here to judge anybody. But God knows your heart and God knows mine. And God said to David, through his servant, he said, "Remember this, David. I anointed thee king. I give you your position." And not only did he remind him of his position, secondly, he reminded him of his protection. Because he said this, "I delivered thee." This is all God's doing, friend. "I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Read the scriptures and you know what you'll find. Over 20 times, Saul tried to kill David. And yet, in every one of them, God miraculously intervened to spare him. And God said, "Listen, not only did I put you in the position you're in, God says, I have protected you." And this is the ingratitude. You know, David, you ought to have shown your gratitude by living faithfully as the king before the people. And that's what God requires of you and me, friend. God requires of us that we be found faithful, faithfulness in his stewards. He reminded him of his position. He reminded him of his protection. Then he reminded him, thirdly, of his possessions. Look at verse 8. "And I give thee thy master's house. I give thee thy master's wives into thy bosom." And what God was saying through the prophet Nathan, he was saying, "Listen, I give you all that you ever needed." You know the story that Nathan told? It was about a rich man who had got many flocks, or large flocks. No, that was talking about, friend. That was talking, listen, that's talking about the many women. Yes, he had many flocks. There was a wee ewe lamb that the poor man had, but there were many. And the Bible says here, "I give thee thy master's house and I give thee thy master's wives into thy bosom." And yet he chose to steal the poor man's one little lamb. You know, there's something within us, friend, to be honest. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and God says, "All of that you can have, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only thing that you can't have. And what did Adam want? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Word of God says, be content with such things as ye have. And sad to say, there is something within us, the old man that's never content. He's always wanting something more. Rather being content with what God had given. And here we find that God says, listen, David, I give thee thy master's house. I give thee thy master's wives into thy bosom. What more did you need? But you wanted the one that you couldn't have. He told him about his position. He told him about his protection. He told him about his possession. And he told him about his power. Because he says this, I give thee the house of Israel and of Judah. Not only did you have position, but he says, I give you power. I give you power. And he says, if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Now mark verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? For God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I've given you all of these things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? And God says, listen, I have given you all of this, and yet you have brazenly despised what I have given. You've thrown it in my face. And instead of going my way and doing my bidding and obeying my command, you in my very sight, David. Yes, nobody else could see you, but in my sight, I watched you. And in my very sight, you did this evil. And there were three things he said. Listen, thou hast killed Uriah. I saw you. Oh yes, when you wrote that letter, you're signing his death warrant. You killed Uriah. You sinned against the soldiers. And then you sinned against Uriah's spouse, because thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And then he said this, and thou hast slain him with a sword of the enemy. You used the sword of the children of Ammon. You know, the Bible tells us in chapter 11, it says, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. They were the enemy of the people of God. This was the battle that David ought to have been fighting. And instead of fighting the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people, what did he do? He allowed the enemy of God's sword to be plunged into the bosom of his friend to cover his sin. You joined hands with the sinful enemy of Israel to hurt one of your faithful servants. Listen, friend, the hymn writer was right. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Before we finish, and I realize time's away this morning, verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. against the Lord. A sin. And friend, that's where Psalm 51 comes in. Because that's the psalm that David cried unto God. Whenever David's sin had found him out. And I'm glad this morning that I can say, thank God, there is a God ready to pardon our sin. The Bible tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess. Now, if you're not willing to confess your sin, then God won't forgive you. But it says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what it says in verse 13. It tells me that David confessed. He said this, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And that's what I want you to notice, friend, because that brought me to the final part of this story. And we'll come to the way back next Lord's Day morning. Thank God there was a way back. Thank God there is a way back. Thank God there is no God like God, the God of heaven. There is a pardoning God. He is the only God and only true and living God. And that brought us not only to the truth, but there's the testimony. I have sinned against the Lord. And there's something that followed the condemnation of a sin. It's contrition. A broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. There was the rebuke of Nathan, but thank God there was the repentance of David. Yes, David's sin had brought shame on the Lord. Verse 14. By this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. There was no excuse for David's sin. And friend, that's the point I want you to notice this. David didn't blame anybody else. Notice what he said in verse 13. I have sinned. Do you remember Adam? When God faced Adam with a sin, he said, the woman. He blamed Eve. Actually, in fact, he went further. He blamed God. Do you remember when and we read about Abraham, and whenever God faced Abraham concerning his disobedience from God, he blamed circumstances. Do you remember Aaron, whenever he was faced with his sin, instead of admitting his sin, he blamed the people. Lord, Moses, they give me of their gold and their silver, and I just put the gold and silver into the fire and they popped out. It was them. Don't blame me. They demanded a God to go before them. Saul blamed Samuel, the people. The Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11, 1 Samuel 15, verse 15. Let me tell you, friend, David blamed nobody. David said this, I have sinned. It's me. And if you want God's forgiveness, and if you want God's pardon this morning, I want to tell you this. Forget pointing the finger at somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else is your excuse. Let me tell you, friend. David confessed. And when Nathan charged David with a sin, he told David of his punishment that was going to come because it was very grievous. Because the Bible says the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and was very sick. And you notice, well, this I'm through. You notice that when God did it, yes, David had fallen on the face on the ground and he cried unto God. But when the child died, David never charged God foolishly. David never complained because he knew he deserved it for his sin. He didn't rail against Nathan. He didn't rail against God. But thank God he confessed his sin and he found there was a way back. There was a road to pardon and to peace. And he cried to God, "Restore unto me the joy." Oh, he says, "My bones, when I kept silent, my bones roared." And everybody thought that everything was going well, and yet David in the night hours was wrestling with a sin until he confessed it. And when he confessed his sin, he found there was a God ready to pardon. I wonder if there's somebody here in God's house this morning. And friend, you'll be honest with God and honest with yourself and confess your sin. Come to the blood of Jesus for cleansing and for pardon and for peace. And then thank God you'll have power to live for God and serve him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word today. By thy Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll write this word upon our hearts. Hymn writer said, "I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod." Lord, maybe there's somebody here and there was a time whenever they lived for you, served you, walked with you. Yet, God, they've been blaming every circumstance and everyone else. And they've never found peace. And they never will until they find a brokenness of heart to cry, "I have sinned. Lord, it's my sin. And I've sinned against you. I've sinned against the Lord." Give grace today for precious souls to come back to you, or the sinner to run to you for pardon and peace through the blood. We pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake.